I want to personally welcome Ken Roberts to the Boomy Humor Radio Show today. Ken is very interesting. I'll tell you about my relationship with Ken from many years ago, but I want to tell you a little bit about him. He retired in 2006, moving from the West Coast to his roots on the Eastern Shore, Daphne, Alabama. He is a self-made multimillionaire, and this man has paid over, are you ready for this, $55 million in personal federal state income taxes, the result of learning how to make his dream come true. I won't even ask him what his business write-off expenses. That's between him and his accountant, who I believe was up in Oregon many years ago, but that's another conversation. His world's most powerful money manual and course became legendary in the financial world and the direct mail world. In 1997, Worth magazine declared that Ken Roberts has introduced more people to commodities than anyone in the universe, and in the process of teaching, you ready for this, folks? Over 1 million people in more than 89 countries, whether they spoke English or not, with over 500 employees, his companies rose to the top of their fields in that world. Now, through his lifelong successful experiences, he explains why goals, plans, resolutions, willpower, and positive thinking are actually self-sabotage, which means I have to sell all my books, tapes, and VCR on eBay. But that's another story. And he explains in our conversation today what does work and how he discovered it. The interview opportunity is not about to make $1 million, because there's no such thing as a money program. Ken's journey now is showing people how to deal with a thinking problem and the solution. So it's about solving thinking problems and identify why money isn't your dream, but a particular lifestyle and life's work is, in fact, is your dream. It's what you want to do, love to do, what's in your DNA, as I tell everyone who listens to this. Good Ken, boy. Thank you so much for being on the radio show. I've known you. I got your program 1991 during your heyday. You remember you had a heyday?
Oh, yes.
I'm
still having a heyday.
Heyday. You know, some people say, hey, your best years are in front of you. Then you get to a certain age and you say, oh, your best years are behind you. We got to make the journey work so everything is still in front of you, no matter how young or old you are. And even though we have boomers on the show, anyone could really take to what Ken has to talk about today. You talk about counterintuitive, and that's funny because I always go with my gut and then kind of use logic and intuition to go, you know, this isn't jiving with me. I don't think this is going to work. So what you normally consider the right thing to do is actually the wrong thing to do, and how many times have you said, ah, I'm my own worst enemy? Can you explain that?
Absolutely. Actually, I got the word from Sir John Templeton, you know, the legendary investor.
Yes.
And he said to be a successful investor or successful in life, it's a simple but counterintuitive principle. Now, you know, I love all these quotes I've read through the years. Everyone loves these. Hitch your wagon to a star.
Right.
Ultimately, men hit only what they aim at, so you better aim at something high. You know, all these great quotes. Now, the one that sums it all up for me, Peter, is you cannot think your way into right action, but you can act your way into right thinking.
Okay.
All right. Now, let me explain this. It takes about 1 minute, wonderful story. I have an orange cone, an orange traffic cone sitting here behind me on my credenza.
Okay.
Now, I went to the Skip Barber Racing School in Monterey, California. Now, before they let you in the formula cars, you have to go through an intensive 3-day car control clinic. All right?
Right.
So it was day 2, and I'm sitting with my instructor in a big red Dodge Ram pickup truck with 4 bald tires, and we're sitting at the edge of what they call their skid pad. Now, their skid pad is essentially a Walmart parking lot with water running over it, and way off in the distance at the opposite side of the skid pad was this orange traffic cone.
Right.
So the instructor says, all right, I want you to aim for the cone, accelerate to 40 miles an hour, put the truck in a spin, recover from the spin, and don't hit the orange cone. And you think, well, that's simple. I mean, this parking lot is so big and that little bitty orange cone out there.
Right.
And Peter, I nailed it. And then you go, and you're embarrassed, you know, and you go, wait a minute, let me do it again. So you drive back and you do it all over again. And I nailed it. And this went on 3 or 4 times. And the instructor just, you know, let it happen because that's the point of this exercise. So he says, you want to know what you're doing wrong? And I go, yes, please. He says, you're looking at the orange cone. And then you're thinking, well, yeah, I'm looking at the orange cone because I don't want to hit it. And then you think, you know, how stupid that statement was. And then you say, well, where do I look? He says, wherever you want to go, you're the driver. And I'm telling you, Peter, light bulbs started going off in my head because that's the whole point of counterintuitive. We go where we put our attention. Now, this actually is a principle in quantum physics, and it's called the Heisenberg principle. And people are starting, it's very old. It was discovered in the 20s. However, we go where we're looking, and that's where most people look, is where they do not want to go. They're going, I need more money, I can't pay the bills, I have relationship problems. And even in the Bible, Peter, which is the best psychological book ever written, it says, that which I feared the most came to pass.
Well, just to interrupt for a second, it was very funny. A pitcher was having a problem on the mound. I forget which professional pitcher. And when the coach went out to him, I think it was one of the Yankees, or it's actually in many self-help books, it goes, whatever you do is don't throw the ball this way to him. It was negative, and that's exactly what he did.
Exactly, because that's
throw
where
it
his
that
attention.
Way. Why? Because what happened? Why'd you even put that in my head? If you
yes,
did, is that make is that is
absolutely
that, okay?
That's what we're talking. For example, now this is why goals, resolutions, willpower, positive thinking—they don't work. When's the last time someone came through with their New Year's resolution? There's no way. The reason is they're focused on what they do not want, like you just said. For example, you see these people in these old beat up Valiants or Dodge Darts, and it's and the bumper sticker says, prosperity is my divine right. Well, what prompted them to put that bumper sticker on? Poverty. That's what prompted them. And that's where their attention is. Now, everyone thinks, okay, now you're seeing the counterintuitive principle.
Okay.
Your mind wants to stare at the orange cone. In fact, Peter, I had to actually take my fist and push my head, my face, where I wanted that truck to go.
Right.
Before I could figure out how to place that truck anywhere around that orange cone. It's counterintuitive. And that explains why there's one car on the road and he hits the telephone pole. Because he didn't want to hit it, he stared at it. And your vehicle goes where you look. So that's the counterintuitive. And now all these quotes that I love started to make sense.
What
hit
quotes?
Your wagon to a star.
Okay.
That means put your attention on where you want to go. All right, now, you just said it in the introduction about your DNA. I believe that, okay, I used to say I feel like a 50,000-watt transmitter with nowhere to broadcast.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you what I love to do, and this is what's in our DNA for those of us who have this, I call it a celestial seed, but right. I like your DNA metaphor. There's something planted in us that we want to express. And I believe that's why we're here on this planet, is to express this love of something that's been planted in us. And I don't care what it is. Now, I'll tell you what my loves were, okay, just to show you how goofy this can sound.
Yeah.
I love Disneyland in Anaheim. I love everything about it. Walt Disney poured his heart and soul into every square inch.
Right.
Of Disneyland. I mean, even the manhole covers say Disneyland on it. He didn't want someone to look down and see Anaheim Department of Power, you know?
Right.
So, okay, I love Disneyland. I love the mail. I think it's magic to go to the mailbox and pull out an envelope. Someone wrote and stuck it in that envelope, sealed it, and licked the stamp, and I'm touching it and receiving it. I just think it's magic. And the other thing I love to do, Peter, was I love Amway meetings. I think they are fantastic.
No, the thing about you love the getting the mail, just to interrupt. I'm amazed that you sent something for, let's say, 48 cents and somehow it went from where you live across the planet and it got into someone's mailbox. I go, wow, what a great return on my investment.
Isn't that 48 cents? It's magic.
Not taking the fuel, labor, overhead of the post office. But they're having their own problems, so they're doing something wrong, not necessarily right. But go on.
I hope the post office doesn't go away.
So I
love going to Amway meetings.
Why?
Free preview. You know how you go and the guy pitches you on the high price seminar?
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know why. I just love it.
Why?
So is it just whatever it is someone loves to do? I don't care if it's snowboarding or paper mache, I don't care what it is, chances are they've never even said it out loud to someone because it sounds trivial and it might even sound absurd, you know? Right. But that was planted in them. Now, let me mention another principle here. Think about this. Thirst proves the existence of water.
Correct. Okay?
If you're on a desert island all by yourself, you would feel this urge of thirst. And it's your DNA, as you put it, driving you to water. All right. Well, something has been planted in people, this love that they need to express. That proves that the other side of that or the realization of that exists. And that's what I teach now is how to find your dream. And it takes action. You can't think about it. You have to do it.
When you're thinking of a dream, be a little more specific. A dream of something that will bring you money, that you could make a career out of?
That's the whole point. If you go up to someone and say, I'm a genie, and I'm giving you whatever wish you want, you know what they're going to say?
Money.
I want $1 million.
Right.
Well, they don't want $1 million. Well, why do you want $1 million? Well, I love to travel, and I want to travel. Say, okay, now we got it. You love to travel. Forget about the money. Just focus on – money is an orange cone. Focus on what you love to do. All right, now, it's like a chess game, Peter. This could unfold in millions of ways, but let's say I love to travel. So maybe she becomes the planner of extravagant vacations for rich people. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So she has to plan all of their trips, go on their trips, make sure everything unfolds the way the person wants it. Or maybe he gets a job offer from a company that is multinational and they say, we need a sales rep who'll travel all over the world pushing our products.
Okay.
That's what they love. And then the money is a byproduct.
Okay. You obviously loved commodities.
Yes.
You were giving people the lifestyle they wanted in the world's most perfect home-based business.
Yes.
And I remember you were selling the dream. It was a legitimate business, commodities.
Yes.
It's not for everyone, because people are scared and they were scared because of what people told them about it. Because
yes.
People are scared and they're, oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. I've heard too much blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So the enemies, the demons told you not to do it when in fact, and that's when you were living in Oregon, right? Weren't you doing that?
California and Oregon.
Yeah. But that is one of the things that holds people back right now with the negativity that you're hearing in the news, the media. They just want to stir up the media and get you crazy. And listen,
yes.
You may be having problems with your foreclosure. It's an orange cone. And
yes.
Greed is bad. Greed can be good or it can be bad, but greed used for the wrong way of what happened in this country has hurt people, and you know that.
Yes.
So what do you say to people?
I'll tell you, Peter, you're going to love this. Back in the 70s, when I was still searching and trying to figure this thing out, doing positive thinking and like you said, reading all the books and listening to the cassette tapes back then, I went to a remember Reverend Ike?
Ike, is that his full name?
Yeah, Reverend Ike.
What was he preaching?
Well, positive thinking.
Okay.
So I went to one of his rallies, and it was at down on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And in those days, it was the 70s. And the headlines actually that day were, you know, inflation, recession, depression,
stagflation. Basically the same thing today.
The same thing as today. And we went into that seminar. There were hundreds of people there. And you know what he said? You don't have to participate. I love that, and I still love that, and it's true today. If you do what you love to do that has been planted in you,
yeah,
that you can't explain that, if you follow that, you don't have to participate. Plus, Peter,
yeah,
we are blessed to live in the best country on the planet.
Okay. So
I mean, this is true no matter where you live, but in America especially, we still have basically a free enterprise system, and you can follow your dream.
If the opportunity is still there, even though it's rough going for people that are in, they're really in defense survival mode, correct, Ken?
Exactly, but that's an orange cone. Focus on what you love and not on the headlines.
Okay. So many of the interesting things that you talk about, as I always tell people, when it comes to direct mail, being general doesn't help motivate or persuade people. It's being specific. You know, yes. What's more, I made $1 million last year. What's
yes.
more impressive? I made $1,442,052. It was specific
yes.
because then that sounds more real. And the most of the fact, he probably didn't make $1 million. It was probably maybe $985,000, but he rounded
right.
it off. So you're saying very specific in what you want. That goes back to many things Tony Robbins says, and what most, I hate to say, and I don't think of you as a self-help guru. Are you more of a, what are you really calling yourself right now these days with what you're doing? Because you're retired, and now you're doing things out of a labor of love because you don't have to work another day in your life.
That's right. And I've always wanted to do this, and I didn't know how until the Orange Cone experience. That Skip Barber Racing School turned my life around because it finally explained in practical terms what was going on, what did all of these quotes mean. Now I know, you know, hitch your wagon to a star. Well, everyone knows that's true and that's right, but what do you do? See, that was my mantra. What do I do now? Well, now I have what I call the Ultimate Technique for Success Club, and I show people exactly what to do now based on their dreams. See, that was the other thing, Peter. So, you know, 1 million people got in my commodity course.
Right.
But most of them did not love commodities as I did.
Yeah, you were trying to show your passion for them because you said
yeah,
like
and I did. I was successful at it. But that doesn't, I mean, maybe their passion is snowboarding, you know?
Right.
But the guy lives in Texas, and he goes, we don't get snow in Texas much, but I love snowboarding. Well, I will show him what to do now to follow his dream. And it just takes a little coaching, I guess you'd call it.
Well, you're showing people, for a better phrase, monetize your passion that can bring
yes.
you an ROI on your time, resources, health, and
yes.
where you are in your station in life.
Exactly. I mean, now, what is this fellow we're thinking about? What does he think about most of the time? Most of the day, Peter, what's he thinking about?
Obviously, he wants to be out in the snow. Obviously, he should move out of Texas if he really loves snowboarding.
Well, he will be, I'm telling you, he will be led out of Texas. And this is all esoteric. It really is. I mean, it's invisible. Everything begins with a thought.
Right.
Invisible. So what we're kind of trying to do is catch a beam of light with a butterfly net. You know, it is esoteric.
Yes.
And that's what all the books throughout the ages have been trying to teach, but they have never made it practical, as I finally figured out how to do. And it requires action, not thinking.
But now let me ask you a point blank. Do you find yourself your success was due to opportunity, luck, putting the right, the planets were aligned for you when you decided, when you got onto the commodities, now the success club. Because people, when they've gone through this difficult time, and I'm just trying to, of what I read, because I read and I experience, I'm out in clubs, I'm speaking, they could got, if I had no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Why can't I get a break? What is it again? Does it go back to their thinking? Does it go back?
Absolutely. When you're following what you love to do, all the breaks happen. All the good luck happens. There's no such thing as luck. You know that.
Well, you and I can have a conversation about that. But because, you know, God, that didn't work out right. I mean, I did everything I was supposed to do and it just didn't, man. I just guess it wasn't fate at that moment. You know,
there was an orange cone in there, I promise you.
Okay.
Well, there's a great quote, I think Emerson, once you make your decision and act, the universe conspires to make it happen. This is what he meant.
Okay.
See, I didn't know what that meant before.
Well, has your thinking changed since the days when you were doing the commodities?
Or? Absolutely. Absolutely. I was focused it took me about 13 years to figure this thing out after reading all the self-help books and everything. I was focused on orange cones.
Is that what
I was one of those with prosperity is my divine right.
And that doesn't work.
No. Why do you put that on there? Because of fear.
Fear.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we've come to the end of our time. I want people to learn more about what you have to offer them. Can you give us your URL? Tell them how easy it is to find you? Because now, don't forget, you made your millions before the internet, but now I'm sure you're using this this vehicle, like, or it's a wild stallion, and you're mounting that baby, and you're doing well with it and reaching more people.
It is neat, and I'm doing videos now where I used to write a newsletter. Now, you know, I can do a video. So my new club is called the Ultimate Technique for Success Club.
Right.
And our website is utsclub.com.
Utsclub.com.
UTS Club.
UTSClub.com. And what do they get there? It's all self-explanatory?
All self-explanatory and videos. It's wonderful now. Or they can call toll-free 855-UTS-CLUB.
One more time.
855-UTS-CLUB.
Okay, that's great. This is fun talking to you 20 years after I remember getting the world's best money-making manual, the world's best home-based business job. That's right. And that was, you gotta have what's in your gut as far as seeking out your passion. I do it with my books, my humor. There's a radio show helping boomers. We're all boomers and we're running the country now. And, it's exciting that I had you on. And and hopefully when you have some, you get some good testimonials, we'll have you back on the show with some of your students so we can find out what happened.
Fantastic. Peter, just one side. Were you in the commodity course in 1998? And I was preaching gold, you know, and we got on a national radio show, Bob Brinker, and I was saying, yeah, gold's going to go back to $800 an ounce where it had been before. He says, you won't live to see $800 an ounce gold.
I was there in 91. So I think, what were you doing in 91? I think it was coffee. It was a lot of coffee.
Yeah. And I'm still in coffee today. So I wonder if he checked the price of gold today.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, hindsight is 2020. I mean, who knows? Listen, if inflation rears its ugly head again, God knows, the heavens know gold will be 2000.
I mean, before absolutely.
Absolutely.
Or more.
And silver is actually, are you into silver?
Oh, yes.
Silver is has a better, margin of going up.
Absolutely. Better than before.
Listen, we've come to the end of our time. Google Ken Roberts, go to his, call him on the 800 number and call him or contact him on the, via his website. And Ken, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. It was a pleasure.